Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 56, verses 6 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them, besides those already gathered. And our next scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Gracious and loving God, as we hear your word, we ask that it would lead us and guide us in this time. Help us, Lord, to be a light of hope, a light of life for your people. Help us to be the personification, the living image of what you have called us to be. Help us to live into what you have called your very people to be. Gracious God, be with us as we go forth from this place. May your word guide us as we do so. May it light our path, influence our hearts, and lead us to be the very servants of Christ that we profess ourselves to be. In your blessed and holy name, amen. Sometimes Scripture reaches out from the pages and grabs hold of you with two hands. Sometimes that grabbing hold of you happens in a touching way, where your life is in such a place that whatever the scripture is, it speaks to you. It speaks and it brings out the emotions of our lives. But there are other times when scripture grabs hold of us and seemingly shakes us awake from a slumber. I always like to think of scriptures like the one today as the second. Scripture that grabs hold of what we think is normal, that shakes us to our very foundation and leads us to a new understanding, a new way of seeing things. Now, often you find certain rules and comfort in Scripture. Normals, normacy that happens But there are other times when Scripture breaks from what is normal. And it says something in that break of normalcy. When Joseph's brothers stand before him after they have sold him into slavery, and Joseph is now the head of the government of Egypt, they have every right to expect that Joseph is going to exact revenge on them. We have every reason to believe that he will exact revenge. He has somehow, through the grace of God, garnered power upon power. And yet, instead of revenge, he shows mercy and love to those brothers who sought to harm him. Jonah, the prophet of God, called to the city of Nineveh to get the people to repent and turn away, instead of being overjoyed and full of joyous wonder at what God has done, is angry when the Ninevites, to a person, decide to seek after God, to seek God's forgiveness, as an entire city to mourn and grieve. Jonah throws a tantrum. Jonah gets mad at God for having grace on this city, the city that he proclaims for them to change and turn. You see, there are certain norms that we expect, like a prophet caring . Today is one of those moments where what our understanding is different than reality. Here we have a miracle story with an interesting interplay between Jesus, the disciples, and the woman. As often happens with a miracle, it's partially about the miracle. But the miracle is also a minor player in the story. Usually, the greatness is not in the miracle, but what happens leading up to or after the miracle, the transformation that occurs in a person, what the person is willing to do in order to be healed, or others are willing to do to be healed or have a person healed. That's really the story. But here, there is more at work than just that part of the story. Now, a little background is necessary here because Jesus is going to a different region. He's going to Tyre and Sidon. And if you look at one of the older maps of that time period, you'll notice that these were on the far out fringes of what had been Israel. The far out fringes, not so much. More the outside borders. This is where Canaanites would have lived. Those same Canaanites that when Israel came in and took possession of the Holy Land, they were driven out. These are the Canaanites who left from Cana and were driven north. Needless to say, there's a history between they and the people of God. And yes, it is similar and yet different than the animosity and frustration between the Samaritans and the people of Israel. Think about this. A heresy has a different relationship, or what you perceive as a heresy has a different relationship to you than someone who is a practitioner of a different faith. Not only that, but there's the cultural differences. So while Samaritans may have had a history of animosity, there was nothing like the past history, the past baggage, so to speak, as the Canaanites and the Israelites. This isn't even part of the actual province of Israel. He has crossed, that is, Jesus has crossed into a different province. He's facing a different group of people. He's in a foreign land. And the animosity between the two groups is very, very palpable and real. But Jesus is not one who shies away from a challenge, is he? He goes and faces so many who wish to do him harm throughout time that the fact that he is there in Cana shouldn't surprise us. Think about it. If he's willing to stand off against the Pharisees and Sadducees, what are the Canaanites? It's more the interaction with Jesus between the Samaritans and other foreigners that happens, that draws our attention out. Jesus, after all, is the Messiah, the very Son of God, who we sing songs about, that we sing of what a friend we have in Jesus. We sing about how close our relationship is with Jesus. And yet, as we read this passage, there is a genuine difference in our experience of Jesus, in the Jesus who seems to interact with this woman early on. Think about it. Jesus at first ignores this woman. Is that the Jesus whom we interact with? Then, after his disciples say, "Send her away, tell her to get out, she's annoying us," Jesus then says, "Is it right to give food that is meant for the children to the dogs?" He calls her a dog. Is this normal for our experience with Jesus? Is this normal for Jesus' experience with people? The reality is that there is a different moment here. This departure from Jesus' norm, this departure is the message. Jesus' departure raises a flag announcing that something strange is going on here. Something out of what we think is average. Now, his initial reaction, his initial moment, we see a non-Israelite call out to him and declare that this man, this Jesus, whom she has heard of, is the Son of God. She's a foreigner. She is not a practitioner of the traditional faiths. And yet she declares that Jesus is the Messiah of the Lord. Now we can, through the disciple's statement, understand that the woman, the mother, did not stop initially, but keeps on persisting. She keeps on shouting. In their words, she keeps on shouting after us, Jesus. And finally, Jesus responds to her. Now, we know that this woman is, at the very least, not willing to be ignored. But then we see this in this interplay between she and Jesus, that Jesus lays out that his mission, his originally believed mission, his mission as understood by the people of Israel, is only to the people of Israel, is only for those practitioners of Judaism. It is only for the lost sheep of Israel. But again, she is not to be deterred and kneels, bends her knees in submission to him, and asks again for his help. Now, again, this bending of the knee normally would have been enough. But instead, Jesus states, It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to a dog. Think about this, and then think about what Jesus does and how he acts so often. At the height of his persecution, what does Jesus do to the ear that is cut off? He heals it. He doesn't pick it up off the ground and start talking to it, taunting the man who had it cut off. No, Jesus is that healer. And yet here he likens the woman to a dog. The major movement here is the departure. The only other time we see Jesus use words like this is when he calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. But that reasoning is based on religious grounds, not cultural as is here. He calls out the Pharisees because they are leading Israel astray, teaching others to love the law more than God. Here, his rejection, initially of the woman, is based on her being a Canaanite. But she persists. She responds to Jesus with, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She doesn't debate the view of a Canaanite being lower than a Jew. She doesn't get caught up with the things of cultural and politics that had been created over the years. She acknowledges that Jesus is Lord, and she seeks to have her child healed. She will not be deterred. She will have her Lord heal her child. And then, as if on a dime, Jesus returns to that normal that we have seen, that normal loving, that normal affirming. And I think in this shift of the moment, this moment that changes from one place to the other, we see what is the light in this parable. It isn't just one thing occurring in this moment. It's multiple things. The first and most basic is that this woman's faith, no matter whether she's a Canaanite or an Israelite, is being checked. Her faith is being tested. Her faith in Christ, that is. Her faith is being challenged and affirmed at the same time. The question in the beginning is, does she have faith in Christ? Or does she seek for some sort of Wonder Man solution? Jesus puts her through the ringer, because he needs to know that she's not following because she's tried everything else. After all, could we really fault her for hearing that a wandering holy man who heals and whose deeds of great power she has heard of is coming her way, and she suddenly leaps at the chance? But instead, it is not the case. The case is that she has faith in Christ, faith in the Lamb of God, faith in Christ the Messiah. She even goes the extra mile to bow down before him. And this moment in which she does so, it's not a private moment. It's not, "Hey, Jesus, can you come over? I'll serve you lunch, and then we'll make these motions." This is in the middle of her city, in the middle of her family, her friends. Everyone has seen her, this Canaanite, bow before Jesus. She has broken the norms. She has publicly shown her faith in Christ and has crossed that cultural barrier. She doesn't just cross that cultural barrier, she runs right through it, as if it were a brick wall and she were a tank, just breaking it all to pieces. When you read this miracle story, it's about Jesus testing this woman's faith. It's about the strength of her faith in Christ being tested and her persistence in her faith. She doesn't storm away at the rejection saying, well, thanks, Jesus. Instead, she persists. She brushes aside the rejections and keeps on going. She will not be deterred from getting her Lord to heal her daughter. But it still leaves us with the question of why Jesus takes this particular road to test the woman's faith. It's a little bit different than when the lame man's friends bring him to the house and see a huge crowd outside and wonder how they can get their friend to be healed by Jesus. How can they show their faith in Christ, but to rip the roof off of the house and lower their friend through it. In the case of the house, the sheer size of the crowd deters and tests their faith in Christ. But at no point was there a human cultural barrier existing. Consider what would happen. The cultural shock that would come with this miracle. Imagine the Pharisees and Sadducees and their response to hearing that Jesus healed an outsider. Not just any outsider, as in the terms of Zacchaeus, one who had been set outside of society, who climbs a tree, who is willing to suffer the rejections of his community, who is willing to go the extra mile to undo the damage, the cheating, the harm he has done. This isn't just that sort of barrier. This is a years-long barrier that exists. This goes all the way back to the time of Joshua, this barrier that has existed. And you don't think the Pharisees and Sadducees will look at this moment under a microscope? As you consider that, understand why Jesus goes to these lengths. If he doesn't put the woman through these trials, what will be the commentary?
Oh, that Jesus, he'll heal anybody. Oh, Jesus, yeah, real big Messiah. He heals the Canaanites.
He needs to unequivocally prove to all the people, to prove to everyone, that this woman is not just any woman, but is a persistent and faithful woman. He needs to show the world her faith. He needs to show how strong she is. There are moments in Scripture where there are people who are outside the group. There are those who are faithful people who become followers of God who are not part of the initial group. You have, during Joshua's time, the entry into Cana, and they meet Rahab, who is part of the people of Jericho. And she becomes and follows God. There are people throughout Scripture who are met by prophets and people. And God walks with them. But their faith needs a spectacular moment so that the people who might throw up these barriers can be shown the strength of their faith. What this moment does is it directs our eyes forward. It allows us to see the greater ministry and mission that will be. Yes, here it is one woman, but later it will be all the people, all the churches that Paul goes on ministry missions and meets. All the churches that Paul goes and reaches out and starts. It's about the movement going forward later. The fact is, this miracle, in its greater context and story, shows us the tearing down of human-created barriers. After all, could any Pharisee or Sadducee say to Jesus and assail this woman's faith? Could they say, well, you just go off to anywhere, Jesus. You went up to Tyre and Sidon and healed that woman and her daughter. And if you don't think that the Pharisees and Sadducees would have used this miracle, this healing of this woman's daughter, as a weapon against Jesus, look at all the things that they're willing to do. They're willing to assail him on all grounds and all accounts. But this woman's faith in Christ shines out. It shines forth with a brightness that few could match. Jesus takes this woman's faith and shows it for what it is. He tests it and it shows forth with light. Persistence of faith is what she shows us. This is what our message is the persistence of this woman who is deterred, but will not be. She is persistent. Persistence of faith is not something we normally struggle with during good times, during times when things are going well. But it is when we face roadblocks and challenges that the perseverance and persistence of our faith is tested and checked. It's when we cry out to God for help, when nothing is going right, that our faith is measured and tested. This woman was not going to be dissuaded and turned away. Her petitions, which she brings to Christ, will not stop until her Lord heals her daughter. We must follow her example and persist in our faith. We must persist in our petitions to Christ. We must especially persist when times are hard. We must persist and not be dissuaded. We as the church need to encourage others to persist, to encourage others who, like this woman, are hammered and yet need to be uplifted and affirmed. Because we must persevere. The key is that perseverance, that willingness to persist, brothers and sisters. Children of God, may we persist in our faith. May we encourage others to persist as well.